Hi there, and welcome to this, the 17th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. It's best time of the year. Why, Jennifer? Because it's the baseball playoffs.
I like how you answered that for me.
You pause and I'm just like,
I'm thinking candy corn and peanuts, Halloween costumes. And you, what's the best time of the year for you, Dan Digman?
It's the fall, and it's football, and it's baseball playoffs, and it's candy corn and peanuts, Friday night football, Saturday college football, Thursday night NFL, and we could go on and on and on.
And Sunday, Monday, there's just football, sports aplenty. So much.
And what we're talking about today is just in the sense of competition. And I always have used competition as my fight against multiple sclerosis, that I'm in competition with the disease. And so we're going to talk today just about how competitive are you with your multiple sclerosis?
That's a deep topic.
I'm looking to you, dude.
And I'm just thinking about Dan and I met, and if you've heard the story before, you may know. But back in 2002, I was involved in a program meant for women to help them find the things that they'd put on hold because of their MS diagnosis. And unfortunately, we didn't get the message across that it was a program for women. And men started to register. Enter Dan Digman. And I saw him walk in to the event. I thought, boy, who is that cute man? And I was instantly taken with him. So the event went on that day, and my mom and I were driving home after the event was over, and Dan and I had exchanged emails, and I had slipped in my phone number, but we're driving home, and my mom said, I think that boy liked you. And I quote, Mom, he was nice and all, but he likes Springsteen and baseball. And so I don't want to say I wrote off Dan, but I...
You did.
I didn't write you off. I just, you liked Springsteen and baseball. And when we got married, about 3 years after we met, we went on our honeymoon and we saw a baseball game.
We went to Toronto and saw the Blue Jays take on your beloved Boston Red Sox. And so I will say then, ye who did not like baseball, what has kept you up the last few nights watching late night what?
Baseball we're watching, and I'm not good with the letters in the series.
It's the NLCS.
The NLCS, and it's solely because I'm, and I don't want to say solely, but largely I credit my Scorpio nature and my loyalty and the Los Angeles Dodgers, their
Class A affiliate for the Los Angeles Dodgers are the Great Lakes Loons, which are a half mile or half an hour from where we live, and so we spend our summers going over to Loons games, and it's really cool seeing players on the Dodgers in the big leagues in the NLCS, potentially World Series, who know where Dow Diamond is, know who Louis Loon is. I mean, just to where there's some commonality, and it's fun. Unfortunately, Dodgers aren't doing so well right
now.
They're
not doing so well, but we watched a lot of these players play. You know, Dan and I, we've been married 16 years. And we have gone the Dow Diamond, that is where the Great Lakes Loons play in Midland. And that stadium has been there for about 10, 12 years. And we've watched and we've seen a lot of these professional ball players when they were starting out and they were spending their time in Midland. And so that's really cool. And I enjoy that. And I think it's interesting that how much more competitive I am than I realize.
And I guess that then leads to this whole discussion. And so rest assured, listenerland, we're not here to go ad nauseum talking about solely sports, but we're just talking about competitive spirit. And I feel I'm competitive to a point. How competitive are you, Jennifer?
I'm incredibly competitive. And I don't say I win often because I'm a very sore loser. I grew up a Michigan fan, and I grew up when Michigan was different. The University of Michigan football, to be exact. And the Bo Schembechler years were when I was growing up and Michigan dominated. And then as I got older, that's when the whole ugliness of Rich Rod and their record and just they weren't playing as well. I would say I stopped. It's kind of funny, Dan, when you think about it. We would go to Michigan football, and when my MS progressed where it made it difficult for me to go to Michigan football games, that's kind of when the team started to suck.
And so then you need to get better, so you go to Michigan football.
And I also need to win the lottery so I can afford Michigan football. But it's just interesting how that paralleled. As I'm thinking about it, 1997, that's when Lloyd Carr and the team, they
won the national championship.
Thank you.
And who was their quarterback?
Who was their quarterback, Dan Digman, Buccaneer fan?
None other than the GOAT, greatest of all time, Tom Brady. But anyway, that's for another discussion.
Yeah, I think that's where you and I, we fall down like proverbial rabbit holes, and we're like, oh, look, there's this.
Look, Tom Brady, look, this, yeah. Yeah,
so, but as the disease worsened and we stopped going to football games, that's when Michigan stopped performing as well. And my interest in that sort of waned. I'm still a diehard Michigan fan, but I am a sore loser. And so when the team is not doing well, it's not that I don't support them. I can find better things to do rather than spend 3 hours being sad that a team that I had lost, kind of like the Dodgers game the other night. I was in such a...
Yeah, you were so not happy.
I was such a crappy Patty because we had spent all that time, and really, really, is that the best you've got?
Well, and you set this up very well, love of my life, because we want to talk about the competitive spirit in facing multiple sclerosis, and we will dig into this, and hopefully then you and Listerland can hear it, contemplate, and look at yourself and say, how are you in your competition with multiple sclerosis? And we'll be right back. And so let's talk then about competitive spirits and multiple sclerosis. And I think it wasn't like when I was diagnosed with MS, I just up and said, I'm in competition. But I think that was the one thing that really put my mind in a place that, and it's kept me, I've kept that spirit through these 20 plus years and living with the disease, in that I at least feel like then I have some control, and it's like playing against the disease. And I don't know, does that cheapen it? That I just feel like I'm competing with something that could totally control and ruin me.
And maybe that sometimes makes it a little difficult for me, because I feel like I grew up as a little sister. I have an older brother, and Steve was not terribly competitive, thank God. But if he was, I just felt like he has the upper hand. He's the boy. He's the older. And to a certain extent, sometimes I feel like multiple sclerosis has the upper hand. So it's not a fair fight. And again, I'm a sore loser. So sometimes I worry that I throw in the towel. Whereas you have that spirit where you're like, I'm going to best you multiple sclerosis. How do you keep that going?
Well, and that, I suppose, is where I can come at it as the little brother to an older brother who was very competitive and was very athletic. I mean, my brother, you know, he was a track athlete, cross country, skilled in basketball and everything. And I was little stocky Danny. And I had no competitive edge in me, even though I wanted to. I was just not very athletic. And that's why I had written a recent article in MS Focus magazine just about lessons learned being the little brother and how that really kept me in line and gave me that springboard in terms of being competitive with multiple sclerosis. Because, I mean, there's going to be times, there are days, there are things that, you know, the disease just throttles me. I mean, it just like knocks me out. And I can't hold a candle to the disease.
Competition is a funny thing if you don't feel up to it.
Do you not feel up to it? Am I overanalyzing, oversimplifying things in terms of looking at my disease and my life with multiple sclerosis as nothing more than a game?
Boy, I know that it's so much more than a game, and maybe with you thinking like that, you don't overthink. And I have a lot of time where I stay stuck inside my head, and I don't think of it as a game. I more think of it as my big brother beating me up all the time. Not that Steve did that, I don't want to say that, but I feel like multiple sclerosis sometimes beats me up, and sometimes I'm just like, okay, you win. But I don't feel like that. Sorry, you're going to ask a question.
No. I mean, just a question. I mean, has multiple sclerosis taken the fight out of you?
No, because if it did, I wouldn't be every 6 months doing Rituxan infusion. I wouldn't be going to an exercise class tomorrow. I wouldn't be participating in the WW program, the program formerly known as Weight Watchers. Because if multiple sclerosis had won, I would give up, and I don't give up. And I think I don't give up because of you and because of my family. But it's hard, and I'm sure anyone out there in listener land dealing with MS or dealing with a chronic illness, you understand. But there are days, I mean, my goodness, you know, I turned on a light switch today, or I made good choices with my diet, or I'm going to get my butt to exercise tomorrow. I think those little victories I celebrate. How about you?
And I think that's awesome. I mean, those are the things, because just like, and that's what I love about baseball, what I love about sports, and doing that, and we'll just, because of the height of, you know, baseball championships, you know, World Series is coming up, and it's just like, you know, there's 9 innings in a game, and there's how many outs? So there's 27 outs in a game. Not every inning, you know, there's innings where, you know, MS will outscore me like 5-0 in an inning, but I've got 8 more innings that I can do things. And so it's just like, so with every game, with every day, however you want to break down those things, I can be competitive. And that way makes the days that I lose, the moments that I lose, easier to tolerate and handle. Because I know there is another competition. There's another thing that's like with tennis, you know, you have sets, you have matches and things, you know, to 40, you know, 45 love, whatever. It's just like you have another set, you have another out. And so I think that's where you collectively see the grand scheme of the season rather than an individual game, you know?
I do, and I think that's a really good point and a good way to focus, where you don't let it best you. You're like, it keeps going. And I'm feeling, this is strange. And
dude, I'm talking about MS and competition.
Ryan is not here right now. Our beloved podcast producer, Ryan, is at his house tonight, and he's not with us. And I think it would be interesting how he handles competition, because he's a pretty intense fella.
Yeah.
If you've all gathered that. I mean, an intense in a good way. Maybe the next time that we're all together, we should talk competition again, revisit that. Because I think he has really, like you, Dan, you both have really strong senses of yourself and that you can confidence in yourself. So I think competition and confidence kind of go hand in hand.
Well, and that's where I think, as far as competitive edge and stuff, is because it's like, yeah, we're here, and Ryan wasn't able to make it over to our house to do recording this week, so we're on our own, and sorely missed he is, as I speak like Yoda. But you know, it's something where you find, okay, he's not here to do it. This is our time that we can figure out the cords, the microphones, everything. And this is like, you know, okay. And because if we didn't do it, on some levels, I would feel that MS got the best of me, because I'm just thinking, oh, I can't do this. This is terrible. So we'll just do nothing. It's like, no, settle in. You got this. And so I think that's where things with multiple sclerosis, that it's just like, I can do this. But that's the thing with MS and competition. This is not a one-on-one. It's not me head-to-head with the disease, because I have a huge team. And I think that's the part that, you know, if we're living with multiple sclerosis, don't ever feel that you're in it alone. The number of people, the number of resources you have to stay in the game, to give you an upper edge and on the disease. And so that's
a really good point. You know, there are so many different, you know, your doctors, your physical therapists, your nutritionist, there are so many professionals that you can reach out to, but then support groups and whether they're online or in person. And we've mentioned those things like ANCAN, the National MS Society, the MS Association.
There are MS Foundation.
Exactly. Everything. So many resources. And as we always talk, there's nearly a million Americans living with multiple sclerosis. So you can find support. And I would say, if you're diagnosed with this disease, you're not alone. And that you have a team. You kind of have a built-in team you're part of. You know, you're not alone. And so I think that's really important, and that support. Remember that you have that. And so that was a deep point, Dan. Just, you're on a team, but you're in a competition.
And on some levels, it's like you're the general manager. You're the coach of your team, and you can assign and bring up, you know, release players. If you're not satisfied with your neurologist, get a new one. So put them on the, you know, on waivers and send them to another team. And, you know, so it's like, and that's a sense where this gives you control, and that's empowering. That's just like, okay, or I'm not happy with this quote unquote friend, let them go and find new friends, find new community that will
look
help
at all
you.
The C words that have come across in this conversation. There's another one. But you have community, you have control, you have competition, you have confidence.
You have championships.
Absolutely. So just, you know, that's the way to approach. That's how we both approach it. And maybe I'm not like looking to get a gold medal in multiple sclerosis. But to be honest, this is a battle I'm going to be living with until it's
cured.
Another C word, cured. So I think that, you know, you're in it for the long haul. There's no choice. You know, we can't give it away. We can't just ignore it. You have to deal with this head on. And I think that's a really good way to look at the disease. Dan is looking at it like a competition and you're fighting against it.
And that's interesting because I know that when I'm actually competing, like games, you know, physical games, or when I was growing up, I mean, obviously I don't compete with basketball, with things. It's just like I always felt bad when I was winning by a lot. Because as a little brother, I know what that felt like to always be down, to always feel like I don't have a prayer in this game. And so what I would do, and this is why I probably am not an athlete, because I would be sympathetic, or I would let
you
them
would put
score
the brakes on and let them kind of catch up.
Just to feel like, you know, and I think of my younger sister Dawn, because I would do that for her. She was an athlete too, and when she actually got to be more mature and stronger and more athletic, I would let her catch up, and then she would take me to town, and then I lost again. And so, but that's where it's different for me with MS, in that I don't feel bad, and I feel
and
like
it's never going to slow down for you, and it's never going to say, "Oh, poor Dan, I'm beating you up so bad. Let me put the brakes on."
Yeah.
So you always have to be on your A game, and you always have to bring it.
But do you? And this is where I think now, 20 some years after living with the disease, I don't know if I've become complacent.
Another C word.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's just like, am I as mindful as I need to be with my health? I mean, you're my inspiration. You amaze me in that you're doing your standing frame. You're not standing on Tuesday, but you're riding your leg bike. You're stretching, you're doing. I don't exercise as I should.
I don't think you give yourself enough credit, because you do have to take care of me. You transfer me. And anytime I need help, you're right there. It's not exercise in the traditional sense, but you are living with multiple sclerosis and you're always a caregiver for me. So I think, you know, you should incorporate more activity and exercise, but you also work a full-time 40-hour-a-week job. So maybe cut yourself a little slack.
True, but then, you know, but I need to eat better. You're on, you know, WW, you're watching things, and I'm saying, "Jennifer, when you go to the store, get me more Apple Jacks." Yeah.
And I could be a better wife to you and be more supportive and say, "You are a grown man, Mr. Dan. You don't need sugary kids cereal." But at the same token, you are living with multiple sclerosis. You have to have your moments of joy where you have your sugary snacks and your sugary sweets. But I think it's very interesting, the whole competition and the mentality and just what a mind game multiple sclerosis is, that we're competing. We have I don't want to say an invisible enemy, but we are competing against an invisible enemy. We're taking tangible steps with our disease-modifying therapy and our exercise and diet to combat an invisible enemy.
And that's what I love to hear that. And you made such a great point when I said, you know, have you given up? Has MS beaten you down? It's just like, if you had done that, you know, you wouldn't be doing your DMT, doing WW, doing all of these things, because you're very much in the mix, in the game. What do your victories look like? Because obviously, until there's a cure, this competition is going to go. I mean, I always have been about the moral victories, because that's what's keeping me and my, giving me the hope that I could actually win a game. My moral, you know, my moral victories are win every transfer, every time I can help you transfer, because that is a matter of strength and will and patience and everything. And it's just like that I can do that and MS isn't taking that from me. What are your victories?
They're small and they're probably not victories to most people.
But that's where, don't compare yourself to others. And I think that's lesson number one, Jenny. And that's why when I used to run the races, I never was going to win a 5K race. And so it was very much a personal thing. It was always, what's my personal best? I mean, I didn't win or I didn't do as well in my age group, but I was 5 seconds off my PR. So, I mean, it is very much a personal thing.
It's a personal thing, and it's important if my husband is doing well, if my friends are doing well, if I'm contributing, if I'm still active. So I think the victories, the benchmarks, they're different for every person and they're different every day. But today I got up. Tomorrow I will go to my exercise class. I will shower. I will brush my teeth and be able to do it. I will turn on a light switch. So those little victories, again, it depends on the day, but I think competition is fun. It's fun to watch sports. It's fun because I can't walk anymore. I never was an athlete, and you never would see me out running just for the heck of it. But I enjoy watching competition. I enjoy, you know, they always say you got to use it or you're going to lose it. And to a certain extent, on the down days, I feel like I lost it because I didn't use it. But to hell with that, I'm going to use it right now in whatever way I can. And if that's using my brain, watching sports and playing mind puzzles and things like that, I'm not going to wallow in despair because of my MS diagnosis. So that's my two cents. I just needed to say that.
I liked it.
Well, thank you.
Wow. So that is competition with MS. We will take a break, and when we come back, I will read a short essay from something I had done in years past and just showing how far we have come as an MS community. And we will have our moments of joy. We'll be right back. All right, so this is an essay that is from our book and consequently on our blog, but this just shows how far we've come with the disease. Every day I embrace. My days are numbered. Medical experts essentially tell me this all the time. I heard it most recently when I attended an MS conference last weekend hosted by the University of Michigan Hospital in Ann Arbor. In not so many words, they said that most people with multiple sclerosis live with the relapsing remitting form of the disease for so long and eventually transition to the secondary progressive form after they've had the disease for 10 years. I hate it when I go to these kinds of things because they often provide a subtle yet very in-my-face reminder that I truly have a chronic progressive disease. I don't blame them for their pessimistic forecast because I realize the medical facts don't lie. With a decade under my belt, I guess I'm living on borrowed time. While I don't consciously think about it, I wonder if I unconsciously realize this. With every step I take, every stair I climb, every race I run, every shoe I tie, every workday I complete, every book I read, every sentence I write, everything I do. Such a reality check has the potential to throw me off my game and into a woe is me abyss that could consume my life. But I won't let this happen. I'm guided by the legendary charge of coach Jimmy Valvano, who said, "Don't give up. Don't ever give up." With a decade under my belt, I know I'm living on, regardless of what form of multiple sclerosis I have. I consciously realize this with every challenge I face, every obstacle I overcome, every frustration I feel, every battle I lose, every battle I win, every moment I live life to its fullest, every day I embrace.
Wow. And you wrote that for our book, which is 10 years old. And in the essay, you had commented that you had been living with the disease for 10 years. So you've been living with MS for 20 years and you have not progressed. Ching, 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 ching. Yeah, that's like a bell. We have no sound effects.
I think we'll get a bell next time.
Okay, but yeah. You have not progressed. And if you had, you would still be moving forward because that's the awesomeness of you. So thank you for sharing that essay with us.
Thanks for listening. I think it is just those reminders of just embracing every day and you know, that alluded to just moral victories, you know, just the fact that I, you know, tie my shoes and just all the things that you still can't do. And so that's my competition on a daily basis. So then let's move then, Jennifer, to moments of joy. What is your moment of joy?
My moment of joy this week, was it just this week? I think so. I scheduled my appointment for my Botox injection in my bladder. I have been living with a neurogenic bladder, GSOP, since shortly after I was diagnosed. And I have been through a number of medications, and I probably have talked about this on our podcast before, but I've gone through many anti-spasmodic medications, and I just haven't really been able to get a good hold on my bladder control. And it's, if you're out there listening and you're dealing with this, it's a pretty awful, ugly place to be. And my urologist, finally, she sat down, Dan and me, and we had a long conversation, and we decided together that I'm going to go in and get Botox on my bladder in the hopes that it will calm down my really spasm happy bladder and give me some relief so that I'm not going to the bathroom every hour. I will get some more quality, you know, maybe even think about 4 hours between going to the bathroom. That would be amazing. And if we had that bell, I would ring it. Ding, 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 ding. That would be awesome. So on November 10th, I will be getting an injection in my bladder. So that's my moment of joy. What about yourself, Dan?
My moment of joy came last week when we presented to the Central Michigan University Libraries. We did virtual presentation for them, it's like part of their professional development for their staff. And we did like an original program on an inclusionary perspective from those with MS. And I think just that, you know, just talking about the importance of inclusion for people with visible and invisible disabilities.
Making sure that that community, the people living with disabilities, that we have a seat at the table. You're right. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And I feel somewhat selfish that my moment of joy was all about me and you were thinking about others. But
well, you took mine because I was going to say that I, you know, my moment of joy was that I actually called and made an appointment with my primary doctor for an annual physical that I haven't had in probably 3 years.
So that's pretty awesome. So the library can be a joint moment of joy.
Joint, yeah. I think it is, just because with that, I mean, especially then for people that work at the libraries, for the students they serve, and just the way, you know, just to be open to people and perceptive and open the door, literally and figuratively, for people who are living with visible and invisible disabilities. And that made me happy, and that they enjoyed and got a lot out of the presentation.
So that was really good. And so that's three moments of joy, but Ryan isn't here.
Ryan isn't here.
So we kind of get to take it up. Yes. Yeah. So Ryan, you're missed, and he'll have moments of joy the next time.
We'll give him two moments of joy.
Ooh,
next time.
That could be interesting.
They're double whammy. And so we will let you go. Thank you all again for taking the time to listen to us. Again, this is A Couple Takes on MS.
And well, you're Dan Digman, and you're walking.
And you're Jennifer Digman, and you're rolling.
But together, we're moving forward.
Until next time, thank you all, and take care.